Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
You long time,
girl, you know I want you be mine,
be
and now
mine.
You're here, right over there. Got me standing in a place I'm speechless. Girl, you know I love you long time,
long time.
Girl, you know I want you be mine.
Round we go, like the merry-go-round we met. Now ice big old mind with a big old blind. And girl, you all up in it. What I'm telling you now is what I'm telling you then. You gon' be my lady, you gon' have my baby. And now we here, my cards are on the table. Are you willing to hear?
Good yawning this morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Monday, the 1st of July, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. And the countdown to independence is upon us. We're almost there. It's the 1st of July. So we're going to try and keep it light over the next few days. But at the very least, we're going to filter our conversations with Bahamian music and Bahamian artists. That's Long Time by Avi and Judah the Lion. Girl, you know, I love you long time, long time. It's independence time. We've got lots to talk about today. Hurricane Beryl is marching across the Lower Caribbean. Eastern Roadworks, Prince Charles, infrastructure, water and sewerage. Police search for driver of vehicle that struck officer. Health officials record uptick in COVID-19 flu-like illnesses. Western Air suspends flights to New Bite. Courts must be safe, urges Bahamas Bar. When we go into today's Guardian, we have a story here. Vehicular manslaughter sentence reduced on appeal. Arrest warrant issued for Albany executive's son in indecent assault case. And over to the Tribune. We need answers on missing Taylor. There's lots to talk about in the news this morning. But if it's July 1st, that means we are officially 1 month away from the Hannah Hasty Tynes family reunion taking place from the 1st to the 5th. Of August over the Emancipation holiday weekend. All my HHT family members, you still have time. You still have time. We can't turn no Hannah Hasty or Tynes away.
What if I carried a Hannah last name, but I'm not sure how I am related to the other Hannahs?
You got to come.
Yeah.
This is for you. If you carry the last name, but you are not certain of your lineage, or you want to confirm the stories that you heard, or you just want to look at people's face and see if you see yourself in them, you must come out to the family reunion. Now, I could see you saying, listen, I ain't even sure if I's a proper Hannah. I don't know if I want to pay the whole reunion price. You don't have to purchase a package for the entire reunion. You could purchase tickets for one or two or three of the events. So for people who are uncertain of the lineage, I say, look, you got to come to the meet and greet on the Thursday.
Is that a separate event?
That's a separate
event. Break it down for me one time.
So meet and greet Thursday night. That's the first night of the reunion. We're all coming together at a family residence. We're going to have, it's like a mix and mingle. We have a couple of games.
So I could pay for that separately, you say?
Yeah, you could pay for that separately. And I could be honest with you. If you show up with your money, if you show up with your cash in hand, we can take it and let you in.
Let you in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Then the breakfast meeting is on the Saturday morning, right? I think that's also an important meeting for family members. If you say, I'm not sure I could make everything, the breakfast meeting is where we're going to decide the future plans for the association and the family, which family group, like New Providence, Grand Bahama. We got family in Florida, we got family in New York, right? Mm-hmm. Across the U.S., we got family. I mean, even the Andrasanas may want to pick up the mantle and say, look, we're going to organize the next family reunion. We got Bimini Hannas, Grand Bahama Hannas, Andras Hannas, Auckland's Hannas. And then we sort of call all the Michael Hannas, right? All the people from South as one. But the breakfast meeting is also a wonderful opportunity to reconnect, ensure that all your family information is documented and recorded in the family tree, in the family directory.
So I could pay separately for the breakfast meeting?
You could pay separately for the breakfast meeting
and
as well.
Can I bring like my own family tree and say, hey, this is my line and I know how I fit in?
Listen, we're asking everybody to bring anything and everything that you have, HHT, to the meeting, because many of us may not have seen it. And those who have been tasked with or have volunteered to hold the history, like our Hannah cousin who wrote a family tree,
yes,
right, who produced a family tree, like cousin Iris Tynes.
Mm-hmm.
We call her the family historian, right?
Mm-hmm.
These people would love to see anything you have.
So what would like old pictures? Like, this is my great-grandfather, but I know who
Look here, bring them. I say bring them in. If you can't laminate them, put them in Ziploc bag and bring them. And then we could, at the very least, we could take pictures of them.
So there's a mix and mingle, and then there's the
breakfast meeting on Friday, and then on Friday evening is the family soiree.
Soiree. What do you mean by soiree?
Family party.
Okay.
Soiree is fancy for, we call it dining and dancing.
Okay. And I could pay for that separately too?
You could pay for that separately as well. If you, some people may say, listen, I really tried to get off time off week, Saturday morning, on Friday morning. I couldn't get time off, but I could come to the soiree Friday evening.
Where's the soiree going to be?
Sapodilla. We say thank you to our cousin Sharon and the whole family and the family of businesses, Sapodilla, Frankie Gone Bananas, Bamboo Shack. They've been more than gracious and helpful in terms of providing resources for the reunion.
So okay.
Say thank you to the whole family.
The good HHT family.
Yeah, man.
So that's what, 3 days?
So that's the Thursday to Friday. On the Saturday, we have in the beach picnic.
You want more stuff?
Yeah, man.
I could be tired.
We can have a beach picnic, HHT games, Hannah's versus Hasty's versus Tynes.
Okay.
We even have a bouncing castle. That could be one of the games.
Okay.
Who could stand up the long? Who could stay up the longest, Hannah, Hasty, or Tynes?
Will any of the historians be able to talk?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be a full day. We're looking at 11 until.
Okay.
You know, some people may want to come later in the day when the sun is going down. Some people may want to come at the height of the day, put them cheering in the sand, let them roll in the ocean, roll out, get tired, run up and down.
It's like a wild day event.
Yeah, man. We're hoping that people can stick around as the sun goes down. We can have a little fire, take us back to the family island, and maybe roast some corn.
And I could pay for that separately, too.
You could pay for that separately,
too.
And the prices, price is separate. You know, there's a price difference for little children, like 0 to 5 come for free.
Mm-hmm.
5 to 12 is a price. 13 to like 17 is a price.
Okay.
But for the dinner, anybody 13 and up is considered an adult.
I hear you talk about no shirt. Can I buy a shirt? Say I ain't coming. Can I at least buy a
shirt? Right, so you get a
HHT
shirt with your package, you could buy a t-shirt there.
Separate.
You could come up to the meet and greet and say, look here.
I just come here to buy a shirt.
I just want to poke my head in. So my Grammy could see me, because I ain't seen her in 7 years, and I come to buy a couple shirts.
Okay.
So shirts and all of the things that will be available for purchase, like family trees, will be available for purchase at the meet and greet and the breakfast meeting and the beach picnic. Okay. And then we go into church.
Which day is the church?
Sunday.
Okay.
That's when you...
Yeah.
We go in church when everybody...
Michael people like go church.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess people come up for the church service.
We're still trying to find the right family church to go to.
Oh, you ain't making your mind yet?
I mean, there's so many churches to choose from.
Okay, because you're all a lot of reverence.
Yeah.
A lot of pastors.
A lot. And not all carry the Hannah Hasty Tynes name, right? Mm-hmm. But we know we related to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so we still... That's one of the most exciting parts of the process, is figuring out which family church we go into.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say thank you to St. Barnabas, because St. Barnabas always open their doors and say, y'all is family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So people from the States come into this thing?
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. So it's a whole mixed thing.
Yeah. Most of our guests are staying.
Like a homecoming.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be fun. So if you are HHT, you haven't seen the details yet, go to the HHT, Hannah Hasty Tynes Facebook groups, any of the two. You'll find some details there. And you send a message there and somebody will add you to the WhatsApp reunion group where you can get all the links, the registration link, the registration booklet or package, so you could look at the details. There's a volunteer registry. There's a family directory registry. There's a questionnaire registry. We just want to make sure that people are recorded as members of the family, and then we get all of the new additions, all of the new little baby, HHT babies, princesses and princes come into the world. Okay. So it's going to be a good, good time.
And HHT politicians coming?
I hope so.
Oh, okay.
I did touch a couple. I was at the embassy event.
Okay.
You know, U.S. Independence
talk
is
about
coming.
That. Yes, let's transition to talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't get a ticket. I didn't get an invitation. I'm not saying it's trying to any shade just in case the U.S. embassy is listening. I'm just saying that this is being like the third party they had in a row. Mm-hmm. And I've never received an invitation to go to their party. I mean, I used to get an invitation. I know they do. But I notice it now. I ain't get no invitation. Hint, hint, people at the embassy for the next July party. Or anything y'all having. Because they had that big boat at the dock there. They invite me to go there, you know.
JUSA.
Right, so you get invited before times.
I can need you. Well, I know why they invited me.
I mean, it didn't matter the point. You still get invited four times.
First of all, because I don't drink. So the quota,
I don't drink, you know.
The quota is good.
I don't drink.
You have to worry about me and alcohol.
And I drink more water now since I have diabetes. So it ain't like I get all the fruit punch going.
Since you know you have diabetes. Yeah.
And I can't eat plenty no more.
That's okay, because they only serve finger foods. But there was great finger foods.
Good great finger foods? Yeah. See, I miss that. Foods. I like finger foods. You know? I love finger foods.
But I want to have a fuller discussion about the embassy, because one of the things I remarked, when I came into the new structure, right, all the people went to the right. Mm-hmm. I was a Bahamian. When all the people going to the right, I going left.
Oh, see, you're one of them.
So when I look up to the left, I saw chairs. Mm-hmm. So I say, oh, I heading in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And so there was an area of the external landscape that must have been designed to provide as much comfort as possible to the people who stand in outside, you know, waiting to go inside, who are coming for services. Mm-hmm. It's like an alcove. And it's almost like it captured the wind and then acted like an air conditioning unit.
Nice, nice.
It was amazing. And so a group of people, not people related to each other, you know, but I found myself over on one side where there was a steady, cool breeze. And I thought, is this an intentional part of the architectural design, or is this just happenstance? And we're lucky that the wind is blowing in this.
You think someone from the embassy will come and just talk about the building, or that's a security thing?
Well,
just how the design and why and wherefore, you know?
Yeah, I think that we could have a conversation about the architectural intent without getting into the security, confidential security details of the space. And I think that's a wonderful conversation. Even look here, the conversation is so wonderful and necessary. Even if they have it on your show or Morning Blend, I wouldn't even be jealous, right? Because it takes up a historic space. And I'd love to know what their intention is for that space. Not like, oh, I'm talking about gentrification, but what did you intend to raise up or to place here and why?
I also want to know the flow. In restaurants, we call it the flow. Mm-hmm. Flow of operation. You start from this point to go to the next point, and you conclude there. Like, when they finally transition over to the new spot, where do I go?
Right.
Should there be a show, say, this is the, see a picture? This is the entrance? And someone will guide you through.
Yeah,
you
know? I think
I know what happens by McDonald's. You stand here, and you go walk through and give your food or whatever it is.
Absolutely.
But I'm not sure in this new space.
And so I think that could be the entirety of our conversation, right? The architectural elements chosen, why they were chosen, and not from a security standpoint.
No,
from
general information.
Aesthetic and cultural standpoint as well. Like, we noticed during the fireworks, did you know that there's at least one barn owl living or habitating in the area right next to the embassy?
Really?
Because we watched it sort of fly out of a tree when the fireworks started, right? And so these sorts of questions. Maybe Antonius Roberts could come in and talk about the beautiful tamarind tree sculpture.
Oh, he did something.
Yeah, that he worked on.
He got a contract.
You could see it. In fact, if you pick up, I think, today's Guardian, there is a beautiful picture on page 2.
What is that?
Old tamarind tree, now a work of art. Somebody told me there's a Chicchani hiding in that sculpture.
Okay. Yeah. We need to have a story against that.
About it, right. Yeah.
yeah. But let me to pitch my idea before we transition from the new embassy opening, mm-hmm. which is not really open yet, but it's opening, right? Mm-hmm. The old Royal Victoria property, which is across the street, mm-hmm. adjacent to. I'm still pitching that the embassy, our government, mm-hmm. should petition the U.S. embassy to adopt that area so we can have one of those high-end parks. You know, like when you go to New York, what a park is in New York?
Central Park.
Central Park and the grass manicured and they have sculptures and whatever it is. That could be an added to security for the U.S. embassy, one. Added aesthetics for Bay Street downtown that we have a proper green space, like right. manicured green space where Bahamians can appreciate that even though this is a high-end area, mm-hmm. that our government made space for us to relish, to cherish, to absorb the ambience of that Bay Street era. I'm pitching that idea again. Hopefully, right.
I think it's a wonderful idea. But here's what the tension is in the space. The tension is the desperate need for parking. So people would stop parking their cars on sidewalks where tourists and Bahamians and people with disabilities are supposed to be.
Mm.
And so we'll have this tension between, you know, so the need for parking and the need for beautiful green space. This could be managed. I think that we do the idea, right? I say we bring it to life. The government now must, with the, whatever the downtown Nassau partnership, whatever form of local government that we need, but you're not operating properly, to identify parking for Bahamians. See, but because for Bahamians to enjoy the spot, they're going to need to be able to park somewhere to get to it.
In the future, that could be all walk zone. They need to park someplace else.
So the government really then needs to spearhead this conversation with the surrounding constituencies and mm-hmm. how they can generate income by providing parking opportunities or car parking
and bus,
services.
And bus transfer sometimes.
Right, and bus charters, little short charters from the parking to town. Mm-hmm. That will right. That'll provide jobs. Now you could employ the young men in the community to secure these lots, secure these cars, right? They could encourage them to get a public service license so then they could be valet drivers, right? And I'm mm-hmm. understanding you need to have a public service license to be a valet driver,
mm-hmm.
but set the trend, mm-hmm. create a standard, and say all valet drivers should have a public service license.
I like those two discussions. What are we transitioning to now?
Okay, so let's start the show by saying good morning and congratulations to Akilah Darville. Akilah Darville must be the youngest person to sing with the Royal Bahamas Police Force Band, who performed, she was at Beat the Retreat.
Oh, okay, I remember her.
So let me tell you the little
story.
You better come home now.
Mm-hmm.
But here's how we came to know her. She performed a Nishi LS song, mm-hmm. Loose Me, in school.
Yes.
And then Nishi LS went to the school to say, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
I see you, Mini-Me. I see you carrying on bad. Which is fantastic if anybody has seen the Turks and Caicos promo video put out by all the Bahamian artists who went down to Turks and Caicos, right?
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And so after Nishi LS went down to see her perform in school, the police were pleased to call Nishi LS and say, Nishi, look here, your girl singing with the Beat the Retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And so we say good morning to Akilah Darville.
Congratulations, Akilah Darville.
And she did an awesome job.
Good.
She getting ready. Next stop, high school pop band.
Yeah. We need a battle of the bands.
Yeah.
At least about 8 to 10 high schools have a band, pop bands now.
And we're supposed to have that already for independence. Yeah. After the last independence, that's supposed to be already on the table.
Mm-hmm.
These young people in these pop bands are performing. Yeah. They could go in the hotel.
And perform Bahamian songs.
Yeah, they could go in the hotel.
Yeah.
They could concert at the cruise port,
mm-hmm.
concert at Queen Elizabeth, mm-hmm. Fort Charlotte, anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what, Aaron? There's a text. Do you know what I'd like to see, Aaron? I'd like to see the task force show up at the U.S. Embassy and ask to see their VAT receipts. And yes, I did notice the smart-looking U.S. Marines with their own guns on the Guardian front page.
Is VAT on visa? I don't know.
No.
So what are they talking about then? There's no VAT on visa.
No, what they're talking about is the task force itself. That was just a mechanism to bring up the subject. Their text, I was going to say, they should take the same task force to the House of Assembly, because how do we know if politicians are paying their taxes if public disclosure laws are not followed and politicians' declarations are not gazetted? That's where we need to take the task force. Take it to the House of Assembly, because surely a mechanism that has not followed the law for it is 2024. 2011 was the last time that the public disclosures were gazetted outside of the election process. That's 13 years. Take the task force to the House of Assembly.
Before we transition again,
yes.
What is your issue with the task force? I mean, I see a lot of people on social media up in arms, and I see the leader of the task force, and they will continue doing whatever they're doing. They will continue doing
until
it.
The court tells them to stop.
Yeah, but what are they doing wrong? What is it you have a problem with?
I had some questions from last week, and I'm going to try and find them and bring them up again. But Mr. Newry, here's some of the questions. Why are RBDF officers carrying high-powered weapons into businesses in the daytime when the customer's there? Now, I read on the front page, he said, the commander says guns to protect tax collectors. Protect them from what? And do you need high-powered weapons? What is it that you're expecting? So then tell me that, look, we've conducted 24/7 surveillance on this establishment for a number of months. And our intelligence gathered suggested to us that we would require weapons to be able to conduct our business.
A sidearm is not enough?
But this is what I'm saying. Is not a handgun enough? What is it that you expected that warrants you carrying these weapons into a business during operation hours? If you have RBDF on the scene, is it an immigration raid? And if it's an immigration raid, why do you have civilian public servants accompanying you when you engage in that activity? Surely surveillance would have determined whether you needed the weapons or not. And if you needed the weapons, surely you don't need to have public civilians on the operation with you.
I got a text here saying that they're targeting white businesses, like Bahamian white businesses. I'm not sure if that's true, but coincidentally, the two operations that had all of the high-powered weapons and that mass of people were white businesses.
Here's the second question, right? You feel the need, okay, let's make a distinction between the marina and the business that's inland, right? Mm-hmm. The marina, we could understand the need to bring customs, immigration, defense force officers with you. You may be entering people's boats to make searches and seizures. We can understand that, but why not have two separate operations? Don't you have members of your uniformed task force that can conduct the same operations that the civilian public servants can conduct? But what concerns me even more is the idea that like the headline says, the task force is unmoved. Unmoved by what? Unmoved. By public sentiment? Fine.
By public complaint. Unmoved. They don't care. If you got to interpret what unmoved means or who is it targeted towards, what was the complaint? What is your concern?
So, I mean, I'm concerned at what appears to be the approach to the matter. Task force unmoved. Like you say, by what? Is it public sentiment? We don't expect you to just change what you're doing because the public has raised the issue. We expect a proper process to take place, right? Where those who are responsible review the concerns of the public and determine whether policy can or should be shifted. See, once the policy is shifted, then you have to do what you are also instructed to do. That's so... I don't understand the context. Of course, there are no quotations, right? It's just a headline. We cannot attribute these words to the Commodore or the commander himself. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Aaron. Good morning, CA. Hope you're doing well.
Yes, sir.
You know, Aaron, my question is, has this maritime, whatever this thing,
Maritime Revenue Enhancement Task Force.
Have they been statutorily empowered to do this?
Well, listen, let me read from this article quickly. Government launches voluntary tax compliance initiative. This is from the 4th of June, 2024. The Ministry of Finance yesterday launched a week-long exercise to assist companies in becoming voluntarily compliant with the taxes and fees owed to various government agencies. Stick a pin. I had a flashback just now to when Hubert Minnis, in his capacity as the competent authority, that's the word. It's not ultimate authority, it's competent authority, right? When he encouraged employers to urge their employees to take the vaccine. Let me read that again. The Ministry of Finance launched a week-long exercise to assist companies in becoming voluntarily compliant with the taxes and fees owed to various government agencies. So I guess if you didn't take part in that week-long exercise, or if you didn't prove to their satisfaction that you were compliant after that week-long exercise, then the guns come out to assist you in becoming voluntarily compliant?
Yeah, but you know, as far as I know, only the courts are responsible for enforcing the law of the Bahamas. If these individuals have broken any type of or have any infractions, it's up for them to be arrested and taken to the courts, and the courts will decide whatever penalty that will be allocated to them.
Well, listen, I haven't gotten...
Isn't that how...
Well, this is how we expect it to work. That's why I question why customs or immigration, right? See, customs and immigration officers have a different set of powers.
Right. I mean, if you are in breach or whatever it is, you have to be charged with some infraction, right? And so, whatever penalty, and this guy is saying that money, actual cash, is being taken from these individuals?
Well, listen, let's go into the article, sir. Let me take a moment to read from the article.
I'd like to say, okay, thank you very much, caller. There's about 100 places that the task force visited in a number of days, mm-hmm. right? But only 2 people complained. So the rest of the Bahamas, clearly...
No. I'm not even going to let you go there.
If it's 100 and only 2 complain, that means 98 businesses... See what they're doing. It's okay.
That's your...
You don't do percentage?
No, pause. I just wondered why you think you could just say that like that.
I'm just saying.
I mean, that's one presumption. The other presumption could be that those other businesses were concerned about what they perceive as strong-handed action and figured it don't make sense to complain. Mm. That's, I mean, and then people will say, Aaron, your presumption may be equally as reckless as Nuri's presumption.
Let's read the article and see why they armed.
The Royal Bahamas Defense Force commander, who heads the tax collection task force that has been making the rounds at businesses with armed law enforcement officers.
Is that to say that's military then? So they have the military... Anyway, let's go. Sorry. I just said heard commander and royal.
That has been making the rounds at businesses with armed law enforcement officers to demand compliance with the law yesterday defended its work, informing that multiple infractions have been found and millions of dollars have been collected. That's not an explanation. I just want to say I can stick the pin there. I'm going to continue reading, but
yeah.
not an explanation.
I still hear in military.
For why?
I still hear in military.
Because the ends don't justify the means.
Can the military police citizens, though?
Commander Bertram Boleg spoke with the Nassau Guardian after he was contacted, explaining that armed officers are a part of the task force in a bid to discourage any robberies, given that the task force is collecting government taxes, sometimes on the spot and sometimes in cash.
Can they collect money, though? Cash money? I mean, I don't... That's how you collect money? That's scary still.
Did they think that the people in the store were going to rob them of the money after they took control of it? Because then you would have the officers stand on guard conducting surveillance and reconnaissance while the civilian public servants are doing the business and possibly collecting taxes. But why are you all coming there to collect taxes?
I find it odd.
You send them there to collect the taxes with a gun, or are you sending them to look at records to determine how much taxes they owe and what you can put on the invoice?
They're saying that they came to collect the money. That's what they went there for.
Let me read it again. Commander Bertram Boleg spoke with the Nassau Guardian after he was contacted, explaining that armed officers are a part of the task force in a bid to discourage any robberies, given that the task force is collecting government taxes, sometimes on the spot and sometimes in cash. Quote, I was just waiting to see if my brain would do something else with those words.
I don't like it.
Quote, in order for you to become compliant, you pay with credit card, cash, that kind of stuff. So we have our tax collectors or our revenue collectors, which are those agencies. So you going in there with guns to remind them that today is the day that they're supposed to pay, and the public civil servants are coming with you to collect the money, and the guns are there to protect the people who collecting the money. But if they're paying by credit card, what are they going to do? How are they going to rob you of that money?
Question. What if you come to my business and I don't have the money? What happens then? Because they come there for the money.
Do you seize all of the money that is available in the store at the time?
Do you close down the whole business?
Ooh.
At that present time, so you lock up. You close down. You go in with me. You go into jail.
Quote, let me read. Caller.
Hold on, caller.
Give me a second, caller. Because I want you to know I got about three other things I want to touch on, and I don't know what Nuri's talking about in his hour, or if he'll let me talk.
No, we can continue this.
Quote, again, we're reading from the article at the top of the Guardian, Task Force Unmoved. Quote, in order for you to become compliant, you pay with credit card, cash, that kind of stuff. So we have our tax collectors or our revenue collectors, which are those agencies I call that have the ability to collect, but they don't have the ability to protect themselves if someone tries to rob them. So that's why you have the police and defense force, the law enforcement with us, close quotes, said Boleg, who is on secondment I'm going to page six.
I just uneasy with the military, police, and citizens.
To the Ministry of Finance, the team includes officials from the Department of Inland Revenue, Immigration and Customs. See, Immigration and Customs have special powers that the police don't have. Like, they don't need to get a warrant the same way the police need to get a warrant if they suspect something happening inside your premises.
I still find it odd that you can demand money from people on site.
Without a court.
How about the court? But go ahead. They're getting the money. People, like I said, 100 businesses got...
Boleg said it has been operational for more than a year and has conducted operations in Bimini, Eleuthrik, Zuma, Abaco, and the Berry Islands. Its recent operations on New Providence attracted attention after VP of CBS Bahamas, Brent Burrows II, posted a video to social media of 10 armed and unarmed officers from the Maritime Revenue Enhancement Task Force entering the store to carry out an unannounced site inspection. Now, let me just say this on the video. I think I only saw one person, I only saw one high-powered weapon visible to my eyes, right, in the video. So I just want to say that as we read that little paragraph, because some people could interpret that little paragraph differently, like they're 10 officers with guns, and then the other officers were unarmed. I only saw one weapon. I want to be fair and balanced.
Stop collecting money. That's what I said. Like, don't go to the place and pay the money.
I want to thank the texter for prompting me to read that. That's not what I expected to read when I opened this paper. Let's go on in the story. But Boleg said the task force will continue to do its job and insisted the guns are not to intimidate.
What does guns do?
Okay. Are not to intimidate. The word printed is intimate, but it's supposed to be intimidate business people or scare away customers. Well, you can't scare away the customers if you come in to collect money and the customers come in to spend money. That don't make any sense.
Well, you come a large armed force, you get intimidated no matter what. Even if you're not intended it.
We have to keep the tax collectors protected, he said. Quote, it's nothing to do with going in those businesses waving guns. That's absolute nonsense.
That's what you're doing.
It's nothing to do with going in businesses waving guns. That's absolute nonsense. We did over 100 businesses in the Carmichael area. There was only one complaint. So what if there was only one complaint, sir?
See?
So what if you work for the defense... Hold on, sir. You work for the defense force. Y'all consistently interact with migrants who are vulnerable people, and you understand that vulnerable people or people in a power dynamic who have less power are less likely to complain about breaches in power.
Aaron, if the 99 people in Carmichael are not complaining, if they didn't put no video, that means they're happy with it.
No, that's not what it means, Mr.
Until
Nuri.
They complain and say, see, we are upset too.
Mr. Nuri, that's not what it means. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. Sorry for the long wait.
No problem. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Good morning to you.
Listen, Mr. Nuri, I'm seeing Zacchaeus all over again with this tax collecting. You understand? It's impossible to say it's not for intimidation purposes. I'm a regular citizen, and if I was a business person and see a gun, or if I walk into a business establishment and see armed officers, I'm actually afraid to enter because I don't know what's going on. I'm not sure if there's someone there after. I don't know the purpose of seeing the gun. So just seeing the gun alone, it's an intimidation.
Yes, ma'am.
So how can you say it's not for intimidation purposes? They need to rewrite that. And it is, one person complaining is too much.
Ma'am, it is possible. See, it's possible that when you're in a position of power, you become oblivious to, like, you have no spatial awareness. See, why I always talking about a sense of self and a sense of space? Because I realized that, thank you, Carlo, the people in power in this country, they have no spatial awareness. They have no sense of self, and they have no sense of place. And they don't understand how their actions, their behavior, and their lack of actions are perceived. Right? The people don't realize that just seeing a police with a big assault weapon in his hand is intimidating. It makes people uncomfortable and scared.
What are they traveling with? The armored car services or just a bus and armed people?
I have no idea. I have no idea. Okay. Here's another text. I've heard NIB officers describe how they perform investigations. They don't go in with bright yellow NIB signs on their heads. They first go in as regular customers, secret shoppers, basically to determine if their information-based assumption has teeth, and they don't do that once. They do it multiple times. When they've satisfied themselves that something is wrong, then they go in officially, and funny enough, they never carry bullets or demand $100,000 in NIB payments on the spot. Thank you, Texter. Another text. Aaron, that's a lie. The tax department is cashless, and thanks to Central Bank, they don't allow checks either. We'll have to verify that, Texter.
Just reach in, they can't take cash?
Yeah.
So that's the next question.
DIR itself doesn't take cash. We go into a break. When we come back from the break, I'm going to transition for a second. Of course, Mr. Nuri is going to pick up this story in his hour, definitely. Y'all, it's independence time. PLP getting ready for battle. General election. I wonder who getting ready for independence.
99 Bahamian businesses happy with the task force.
Sir, that is not what we are going. That is not the reasonable inference from what you have read and what we have heard. It's just not.
That's what I read.
Producer, I like this by a long time, you know, but we come into a break.
Happy.
Not our relationship, just the show. Let's go to this break so we could hurry up and come back and I could continue figuring out if I can row Mr. Nuri or not.
We happy.
You're on the clock with Aaron Green and Mr. Nuri joining me this morning. We'll be right back.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavandre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On The Clock. That was the one and only Akilah Darville. If you're looking for a snapshot of her performance Find out on our news. Go right to their website. Akilah, Davil, you're coming. You know what? Priscilla Rollins would be proud. Madame Duvalier, Maureen Duvalier would be proud. Therese Hepburn would be proud. They are proud. We proud of you, Miss Davil. We proud of you, Akilah. Okay, let's get back to the show. I'm going to read these texts and I'm going to talk to these couple little story.
We have a caller.
Okay, let's go to the phone line. Good morning, caller. Producer, let's go to the caller. Hey, good morning, caller. You still there?
Morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Good, thank you.
Okay, very quickly.
Yes, sir.
I want us to, first of all, respect ourselves. We are all citizens of this country. And the majority of citizens of this country pay their real property tax, and they declare when they come back into the country. The best strategy I would think of today in dealing in this matter, take the task force to the House of Assembly and find out from them why they refuse to comply with the Public Disclosure Act on their personal income. See, before you fool with the people, get your act together. We ain't all dumb. And stop this garbage. Stop insulting the people, and then you wonder why the people ain't putting up no flipping flag, because they have had it.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. Absolutely. Thank you. I want to say, thank you for reiterating my point, but you made it. You made the point, ma'am. Thank you very much. Another text. Morning, I hope they checked those yachts at the western end of the island that come laden with all manner of stuff directly to the back of those homes. What do they pay? Are they thoroughly checking their contents and assessing duty? Here's my thing. Why is it that the government will continually place the burden on the citizen in the absence of government infrastructure and policy and successful enforcement? You have ports. You know you have ports. You know where all the ports are. Why are you not assigning customs officers to all of the ports? Why don't you have a customs and immigration officer at all of the ports? Why don't you have a drone operating over every port to identify when boats come in? And then you use your little communication services to ensure that officers are where they're supposed to be when they're supposed to be there. Why are you placing the burden on us continually? You can't do your job, so you must discriminate against citizens so you could try and make it look good? No, sir. No, sir and ma'am. Morning, Lady Green and guests. That little Bahamian singer was awesome. The 242 have excellent talent and showmanship. Congratulations on your success, Akilah Davil, from the mayor of Grand Bahama. Yeah, man, we got to give her praise. You're all wasting energy on this topic. If people paid the government, they wouldn't need to have the concern of armed officials entering their establishment. Furthermore, we should emphasize the positive side. Why not commend them for actually doing audits and finding these elusive funds instead of focusing on the officials bearing arms that they were issued by their employer?
Two different departments.
Absolutely.
One is doing the audit, and we commend those people. And then one is a task force coming inside with armed guns.
There you go.
Two different things.
Also, JTEX, if the government did their job, first of all, of protecting Bahamians from unscrupulous government actors, and they cleaned up the entities and agencies that are responsible for manning the borders and tax collection. Start there.
I'm still concerned about collecting cash, though. Do they just take it out of the cash register?
I don't know. Let me get to these next stories quickly, because I ain't sure if you can let me touch on them in the next hour. Eastern Road Roadworks, BPL. The week before last, mm-hmm. We ended the Friday with an announcement of road closures from just east of Montague, that they were closing the road where Eastern Road goes on to East Bay all the way up to Newgate Road, which is the entrance to Blair. 3 days over that weekend. Fast forward to the following weekend, and here I am driving home and almost drive into four of the shabbiest cones BPL must own. All the reflectors done fall off the cone. And that is their road closure notice. On a Friday evening, where people like to drink and drive and speed up the place, and all y'all could do is put out four cones, no extra lights at the intersection that is closed. No road closure notices. No road diversion and detour signs. Just luck and the memory of Munnings Road tragedy. Have we learned nothing? Y'all kill a whole woman because you refuse to follow the standards of your industry. You refuse to follow through on enforcing the regulations put in place to protect Bahamians. And you're going to just let it happen again? Not one notice of a road closure on a Friday night when we know people like to get drunk and drive up the place and kill up people cheering. Come on, BPL, where's your traffic management team? Let's go to Prince Charles ruptured infrastructure. A few weeks ago, I sat here and somebody called in and say, Aaron, the spot where it broke this time is not the same spot where it broke last time. I am here to tell you that 100 meters is the same area. Within 100 meters is the same location. And here we are again. See, if you're taking the time to critically interrogate what was happening at the last rupture and the one before, maybe we wouldn't be here again. Do we need to put weight limitations on that road? Big trucks and lorries can't go. Do we need to have a unit that actually enforces that these trucks are carrying what they are allowed to carry on these roads? Do we not care about people's lives? It seems to me that you just haven't reconstructed the road properly to protect the pipes from the weight of the vehicles traveling on the road. It's just millions and millions of dollars being wasted and hundreds of Bahamians' lives being put at risk because people don't want to do their jobs. And the higher up you go, the less prepared they are to do the jobs. Where's the enforcement? We know road traffic ain't enforcing nothing. We know Colby Davis, she ain't watching nothing. See, when y'all had the shuffle, I asked the question. People thought I was just being disgusting towards a woman politician. Does she have the capacity to manage the weight, the burden of both of these portfolios, energy and transport? It's the third fault in the immediate area. What are y'all going to do differently? And have we learned nothing from the Munnings Road tragedy? Texter says, amen, lady caller. Tell those MPs disclose, which is mandated by law. Let me tell you something. If y'all don't even let me, I ain't never going to West End. I ain't never going to West End. Because I could spend my whole time in West End asking the people how y'all could vote for a man who was just the chief passport office, who created the candidate training program for the PLP and still don't know how to fill out a public a declaration form. Still don't know that he must have to have a bank account to buy securities. You all vote for him? I couldn't vote for him. I mean, y'all should have voted for Lincoln or Tenille. I can be honest with you. Y'all should have voted for Lincoln or Tenille. But that's what y'all voted for. Good morning, caller. You got 30 seconds.
Morning, Aaron. How you doing?
I'm good, thank you.
All right. I know I can put it in 30 seconds, but I can try. First of all, with the greatest respect, I don't think you can say BEC killed the people, but anyhow, that's a story for another day.
I didn't say BEC killed them. I said, have we learned nothing from the Munnings Road accident about road closures and proper signage?
Okay, I called about keeping me about this task force. People who you talk about, I was very disturbed, but I heard about this. And on the radio here and all the stuff. But these things could have been done better. But my question is, my second question is, how was this unit established? Through which entity? Was it done through Parliament? Or was it going to, supposed to go to Parliament? The rules that declared it should have gone to Parliament, but that means it should have had regulations passed in law with the duties of these people is, the level of authority that they have, and all the rest of these things. This is crazy.
I can't find anything.
Was it competitive? Was it all these? I'm talking about the legitimacy
of the agency itself.
Of this agency itself.
Or
whose authority they come from and which department or what have you. Obviously, it's something on the finance. But if you deal with this type of agency with the magnitude in which it appears that they care, you know, that's something that should have gone to Parliament.
Absolutely.
That comes with regulations, that comes with law and all the rest of that stuff.
Yes,
are you aware of whether or not this did go through Parliament? Any regulations passed all this week?
Sir, I can tell you what I found when I started doing research. I found this article, Government Launches Voluntary Tax Compliance Initiative from the 4th of June, 2024. However, what I found on the DIR, that's the Department of Inland Revenue's websites, it seems that it emanates out of the Ministry of Finance. It is organized loosely, I guess, by DIR, because that's the only place I found information about it. And it seems to be have been in existence, not the task force, but the unit, since at least like 2017, maybe 2018. But there's no clear, right? You can't find anything online that clearly places it in a ministry, that describes how it was created, the policies and the legislation that govern it, who you're supposed to go to if you have an issue with it. None of that was available when I did my research last week. It may be available now.
Based on all of that, my observation is the same as this is an illegal task force.
No, I don't think it's illegal.
Now, it can be.
They need to take action against them.
Okay. Hold on, Paul. I gotta cut you right there. I gotta be responsible. We can't say that it's illegal. Remember, there's this principle in law. If a law is passed, it's deemed to be good law until the law is brought before the courts, before the Constitution, and shown that to proven to be bad law, right? So we're going to use that sort of principle to apply to this. The task force in and of itself can't be illegal. It may have been improperly composed.
That's what I'm concerned about.
It may be operating improperly without proper legislation or regulations.
No, I ain't worried about that. I'm talking about the police unit enforcement and this military thing.
Yeah, and so we can be very careful. Carl, you got 30 seconds.
Aaron, CA, good morning.
Morning, sir.
I just wanted to say one very quick thing here. Obviously, if we all want to be very realistic in this modern-day Bahamas, I would say that most of the systems that appear to have worked properly in this country are no longer working. And why is that? Because organized chaos happens to be the order of the day. You know, the thing is, a lot of the systems that used to make our country run very efficiently, they are no longer in play here. Sadly to say, we're talking about the road conditions and everything as simple as putting down a speed bump and not painting the white triangles on those speed bumps or putting up signage to indicate where the speed bumps are is a travesty to the motoring public, whether you're a pedestrian or a motorist. It is a danger awaiting. Could you imagine hitting a speed bump that you didn't know was there and it's black? Mm-hmm. The whole road is black. You're moving at the speed limit of 30 miles per hour. You hit that speed bump and you don't know it's there.
Yes,
it's dangerous.
Absolutely.
So where are the agencies responsible for painting the white triangles on these speed bumps? And also in closing, putting speed bumps on a major roadway that is an access to all of the other, which is the main artery going into all these areas. Who in the world puts speed bumps down on a major roadway?
People who think
it doesn't make any sense.
People who
like and great? That's a different conversation for another day.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. People who think that sleeping policemen could actually do the job of actual policemen. Wait. Because I know some. Oh, boy. Anyway, producer, play that music, man. It's time to end the show. We come in right now. Mr. Nuri, thank you for joining me. I hope you let me join you in your hour. Because I defined one article, Bahamas' first debt for nature swap could be finalized this fall. You better get the nature straight out one of these politicians' yards, I could be honest with you. We are gone. You've been on the clock, and this is Akila Darville taking us out with Tell All Lion, hear me? Better come home now. These children looking at me like I is Daymar. You all have a great day.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.